Well, friends, the time is certainly moving on. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Numbers? Numbers chapter 3. I want to read some verses there in Numbers chapter 3, reading from verse 39 down to the end of verse 51. And then we'll be turning over then to Luke's Gospel, to Luke chapter 2. So maybe if you like, when you're at it, if you have a bookmarker, put it in Luke's Gospel and hold it there. We'll come back to it in a moment or two's time. But our time's moving on very, very briefly, very, very quickly. And I'll be as brief as I possibly can. Here's Moses, and he's before the Lord. And the Lord gives him certain commandments. And we want to look at just this evening for a moment or two. Verse 39. All that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered, at the commandment of the Lord throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward were 22,000. Now notice the figure that there is there, friends. 22,000 there. The Lord said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. Thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites, instead of the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered, as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel. All the firstborn males by the number of names from the month old and upward of those that were numbered of them were 22,213. 22,703. Notice the number that there is there, friends. Reading from Numbers chapter 3 and verse 43 now at the minute. Notice the number that there is there. 22,213. 22,273. Verse 44. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of the firstborn among the children of Israel, and of the cattle of the Levites, instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, I am the Lord. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt take 5 shekels apiece by the pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary shalt thou take them. A shekel is 20 gerahs. And thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them to be redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money from them, and were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. And of the firstborn of the children of Israel, took he the money 1,305 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Moses gave the money to them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. It's a very, very interesting passage that we have been reading together just now. I have a great interest in the numbers in Scripture, and I don't know, friends, this evening whether you would be interested in that type of biblical teaching or not, or biblical understanding or not. From the verses that we read together, there were 22,000 of the children of Levi, and there were 22,273 of the children of Israel. In other words, there was a shortfall of 273. And as we read there in verse 46, and I'll read it again, and for those that were redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, the Lord told Moses to take 5 shekels apiece. And that's why we sing that lovely hymn, that we're redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the blood of Christ. That's why the first two hymns we sang tonight was got to do with redemption. And why was it 5 shekels, friends? Because whenever we look at this passage of Scripture here, the 5 is very important, because 5 in Scripture speaks to us of grace. 5 in Scripture speaks to us of grace. And whenever I come into the New Testament, into the book of Ephesians, I learn there in Ephesians that I am saved by grace. I am redeemed by grace. You know, tonight, dear friends, that's a tremendous subject. To be redeemed tonight by the grace of God. What does this simply mean? It means, dear friends, this evening that there is nothing in me worthy of redemption, were it not for the grace of God. God's unmerited favor to you and to me tonight, to the unsaved tonight. But I want us to think a little bit on these words or numbers that we have here. 273 is very interesting, friends. Because if I were to divide that 273 tonight by 21, you know what number I would get? I would get 13. 13 in Scripture speaks the number of Satan. 13 in Scripture, dear friends, tonight speaks of apostasy. It speaks tonight of defilement. So we can see a little picture here way back in the book of Numbers beginning to unfold for us here. 273 has to be multiplied by 5, first of all. It's through the 5 shekels that these people are redeemed. But I want you to see the condition of the people here, friends. As I already said, 273, and if I were to divide it tonight, dear friends, by 21, I would get 13. It's interesting whenever you come into numbers. You know, God just doesn't give us this book and put these numbers on here of his head. Whenever you study the Word of God, you will find, dear friends, that every number in the Word of God is specifically placed there. And whenever we look at these 273 here, we see that they needed to be redeemed because they were under the control of Satan. Satan was in control of our lives here. And dear friends, tonight, whenever you and I come together here, if you're unsaved in this meeting tonight, you're not under your own control. You're under the control of Satan. Not only do we see the number 13 and that figures that I gave you a moment or two ago, but dear friends, if I take the 13 tonight and divide 273 tonight by 13, what do I get? I get 21. Now, what's the importance of the 21? Well, three in Scripture tonight, dear friends, speaks of the Godhead. Three sevens is 21. Three in Scripture speaks of the Godhead. Seven tonight, dear friends, speaks of perfection. So whenever we look at these 273 here, we see the grace of God has been multiplied by 5. We see the grace of God. But we see, dear friends, not only the grace of God, but we see the reason for it. Because these people here, represented by the number of 13, are under the control of Satan. And then we have this wonderful message of the gospel tonight. Wonderful message of the gospel tonight. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit working in perfect harmony tonight. Absolute perfect harmony tonight to bring about the salvation of precious souls. And the little thought I want to just to leave with you here. I could go on, but my time doesn't permit me to do that just now. The little thought I want to leave with you here, dear friends. Notice what it says in there. Every child, every male child over the age of 1 month had to be redeemed. Over the age of 1 month had to be redeemed. And let's move on very quickly. Come with me, if you would, please, to Luke chapter 2. And I've been very, very quick. Luke chapter 2 and verse 27. Luke chapter 2 and verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And we notice what it says here. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. What have we got here tonight, friends? Here we have a wonderful picture here of the Lord Jesus Christ. Under the law that we were reading about there in Numbers chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ had to be redeemed under the law. He was a child, a male child, over the age of 1 month old. But here we find it when we come into the gospel. What do we find? We find the person who was redeemed under the law, in Numbers chapter 3, we find that he himself, under grace, has come to redeem. He has come to redeem. Notice what it says in verse 27 again. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. What were they doing with him here? They were redeeming the child Jesus under the custom of the law by the 5 shekels of silver. And yet, no, whenever we leave the law behind us and we come in, we move under grace, what do we find? We find that the Lord Jesus Christ, under grace, comes to redeem. He comes to redeem under grace. Now, I want you to move very quickly. Look at verse 46 with me, if you would, please. The boy Jesus now is well over the age of a month old. He's actually 12 years of age, and that's another interesting number we come under Scripture. 12 in Scripture speaks of government. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jews still practice it yet. That's what they call a bar mitzvah. When a young boy comes 12 years of age, he becomes a son of the law. And so Mary and Joseph here in Luke chapter 3, they have taken the child Jesus up into the temple and that he might become a son of the law at the age of 12. They've journeyed back again. They've left the temple and they're journeying back again. Verse 46. They came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing him and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Notice what she says to him. They were amazed. He's standing in there and he's talking and teaching the lecture that the elders in the temple there. They were amazed. And the mother said to him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us thus? And she says, Behold thy father. You see, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ here had been redeemed by the shackle by his father Joseph, that gave Joseph the title, the right to be called father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Joseph redeemed him by the five shackles. But I want you to move on very, very quickly. She says, I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? There's the very first time in scripture we have recorded the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, Wist ye not? Why are you getting worried about me? He says, Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now he's speaking about his father's business. Now here's a little question I want to leave with you just now. What was the father's business? The Father's business was your redemption and my redemption. That's what the business that the Father sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come to fulfill. To die on that cross of Calvary, to shed that precious blood on the cross of Calvary, that you and I may be redeemed tonight. And maybe you're here in this little gathering tonight and you're not saved, you've never been redeemed. The hymns that we're singing tonight were about redemption. Jonathan tonight has been telling us how he's been redeemed, how he's been brought back again. Out of the sin of the world. Not only do we see that in that verse in there, he says, I must be about my Father's business. The Father's business was that you and I might be redeemed, that you and I might be brought back again out of the slave pits of sin. Now let's move on very, very quickly. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, what was his final words? Final words was, it's finished. What is finished? His Father's business. The work of redemption. Dear friends, I hope tonight, and I trust that you can see a little picture that I'm trying to paint here. I want you to see that tonight. The Old Testament, you could be redeemed by five shekels of silver. If you could afford the five shekels, you possibly could be redeemed. But thank God tonight, under grace, you don't need five shekels of silver. You just need to come in faith to the foot of the cross. Because Jesus said, his last words, dying on the cross of Calvary, his last words are simply this, it is finished. There's nothing more for you to do. You just have to come tonight and you just have to trust in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I want just very, very quickly, the purpose of redemption, friends, is to buy back again. You and I, born in sin and shapen in iniquity, we need to be born, bought back again. We need to be lifted, as the psalmist says in Psalm 40, out of the fearful pit and from the miry clay. We need to have our feet set upon a rock. We need to be established. We need to have that new song in our heart. To be redeemed by the blood of Christ. The purpose of redemption is to be brought back out of the world and out of the nature of darkness and sin. We heard how that happened to Jonathan there just a moment or two ago. To be brought back. The word redemption is a beautiful word in Scripture. That's why I love that hymn that we sang earlier on, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The purpose of redemption is to buy back. The price of redemption, friend, is the precious shed blood of our Lord Jesus tonight. I would love to have the opportunity, friends, to get on the television sometimes, even on the radio. So many people are depending upon this and depending upon that and depending upon the other. And they're not depending on the precious blood of Jesus tonight for salvation. What a thought for you and for me tonight, friends. There's a lovely hymn that goes something like this. On the golden streets of heaven, all men hope to walk someday. But so many are not willing to accept the living way. So while others build in good works or opinions if they may, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm depending on the blood, on the soul cleansing blood of the Savior. I've been washed in his crimson flood, though the word might say, there's hope some other way. Thank God tonight I'm depending on the blood. Jonathan tonight is depending on the blood of Christ that was so freely shed at Calvary. Tell me, friends, tonight, are you depending on the blood of Jesus tonight for salvation? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. That makes me white as snow. No other fount I know tonight, friends. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The purpose of redemption is to buy back. The price of redemption is the precious blood of Jesus. And the power of redemption. Well, think of the power of redemption. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And this is what the prophet says. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as red as crimson, they shall be as white as wool." What happened to Jonathan? He heard him saying he had a burden. The burden was lifted. Burden was lifted. Henry says, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near tonight, friends. The purpose of redemption to buy back. The price of redemption, the precious blood. The power of redemption tonight. Sins that are scarlet, made white as snow. Oh, I'm glad tonight, friends. I would honestly tonight, friends, hate to stand before God in a sinful state. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, dear friends, I want you to shudder tonight in your shoes. To stand before a holy God in your sinful state, friends. It's too late then to be redeemed. It's beyond redemption then. You need to be redeemed in time. And not get the opportunity in eternity. Purchase of redemption. I want to see something else about a dear place, friends, tonight. What about the place of redemption? Calvary. Place of redemption. Him that says, "Bearing shame and scoffing, rude in my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood tonight." Hallelujah, what a Savior we have this evening. Calvary tonight. Another hymn says, "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down, that ere such love and sorrow meet, or and thorns compose so rich a crown." Calvary tonight, friend. I want just for a moment or two, my time's gone, just for a moment or two, friends, I want to bring you to Calvary. The foot of the cross. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I want you to come with me by faith just for a moment or two to the foot of the cross of Calvary. And the hymn writer says, "And sitting down, whenever the Roman soldiers did all that they possibly could to the Lord Jesus," the hymn writer says, "and sitting down, they watched him there." I want you to see Jesus tonight on the cross. Just for a moment or two. Just for a moment or two. Why was he there? Not for his own sin. Not for his own sin, friends. He was there for your sin and mine tonight. Why was he there? Oh, why was he there? Why was the wrath of God poured upon the lovely Lord Jesus at Calvary? That you and I might be redeemed by his precious blood. Can you, for a moment or two, can you just see that scene on Calvary? On that center cross? Can you see the nails in his hands? The hymn says, "He showed me his hands that were marred for my sinning. He showed me his feet that were nailed to the tree. He showed me his brow and his side deeply wounded. That made me love Jesus who first loved me." What about redemption tonight, dear friends? Time's gone. What about redemption tonight? Are you here tonight? Are you redeemed? I know there are quite a few people in the gathering this evening and they have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't been redeemed. Why not tonight? Why not tonight? Why not be like Jonathan? When there come to that time in your life when you realize, yes, I need to get right with God. I need to be born again of the Spirit of God. I need to be redeemed with the blood of Christ. And then you'll be able to sing like Jonathan sung, and we sung in that last hymn there. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Friends, tonight, the price of redemption, the price tonight to buy you back, to take you out of that fearful pit and from the miry clay, what was the price of redemption tonight? The outpoured blood of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The hymn writer says, "I need no other argument, I need no other plea, it is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me tonight, friends." I can't make it any more simple this evening, friends, than that. Christ died for me. Christ died for you. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ tonight wants to redeem you by his precious blood. Oh, I trust this evening, friends. My time's gone. I trust this evening as you've listened to the word of testimony. The power of God in the life. How God can come in not only into a life, dear friends, but into a home and into a family. And see family being redeemed by the blood of Christ. You see the family, the circumstances changing in the home. The power of the blood tonight, friends. I can't overemphasize it this evening, friends. The power of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no answer to it tonight in a word. The blood of Christ tonight cleanses from all sin. Oh, what a place to be this evening. I'm glad tonight, friends, I'm standing on redemption ground. We're singing an opening hymn tonight, weren't we? Redemption ground, the ground of peace. Redemption ground of wondrous grace. He let our praise to God abound. Who saves us on redemption ground. Tell me tonight, have you been saved on redemption ground? If not, why not tonight? Why not come to the foot of the cross tonight? I've been as brief as I can, friends, this evening. Why not come to the foot of the cross tonight? Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts, we pray. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Our time is gone. I'm not going to sing another hymn. Our gracious God and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, do thank Thee, loving Father, for a sense of Your presence with us in this little gathering this evening. We thank Thee, loving Father, for the beautiful hymns that we've been able to sing together. Singing, Lord, about redemption. That finished work on the cross of Calvary. That precious blood that was so freely shed for us there. And Father, we thank Thee, Lord, that You're still in the business, Father, of redeeming souls. Thank Thee, Lord, tonight for Jonathan. For his dad, Lord, and his deathbed, practically. For little Matthew, Lord, sitting here beside his dad just now. For Jonathan's mum. For Jonathan, for little Curtis at home, Lord, and we pray for Timothy tonight and pray for the mother. And our Father, we pray for our own families this evening, Lord, that they might be brought to realize that they need to be redeemed. Redeemed by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, if it's then in this gathering this evening that are still outside of Christ, we pray for them. Lord, that Thou would be merciful unto them. Father, Thou would reveal Yourself to them, we pray. They too, Father, may come to the foot of the cross and have that blood applied by faith. For redemption, we pray. We ask it all, give Thee thanks in the Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen.